You are listening to the weekly podcast of Renovate Life Church of God in MacArthur, Ohio. We pray you enjoy today's message.
God has spoken this morning in this time of worship. What I'd like you to do is just remain quiet for a moment before God and listen as He has spoken, and if you will, even speak that back to Him, what He has spoken to you. Let Him know that you have listened and heard what He has had to say to you and has spoken into your heart. Father God, we worship You. We magnify Your great name, for You are worthy, worthy to be praised. Thank You for that name of Jesus. Thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thankful that He has set you free. Be thankful that He has delivered you. Be thankful that He is present. Amen. Be thankful that He is coming, has come, and is coming again. Amen. And amen. Amen. Jesus, be glorified in this place. Spoken to you this morning already? Amen. Amen. Children, you may be dismissed. You may be seated. Yeah. Hey, Ralph, bring my phone up here, would you please? Psalm chapter 1. Thank you, brother. Psalm 1. I love you, Renovate Life. I love you. You are amazing. Amen. And Pastor Dimmel, thank God for you. Amen. Thank God for you. As has noted, the smorgasbord is about to end. You got one more Sunday of a smorgasbord, right? And then the main course. Then the main course gets to return. But don't expect him to be the same that he was. Because when God moves in life as he has moved in Pastor Dimmel's life, there's a breaking. There's a breaking. You can't go through what he's gone through without a breaking. Years ago, a pastor named Paul Youngie Cho, pastor of the Full Gospel Baptist Church, or Full Gospel Church in Seoul, Korea, church went from 20,000 members to over 1 million. But during that time when it went from 20 to over 1 million, he had to be carried in the pulpit and carried out. He was so out of it, so being moved of God away from who he was, that it took over a year, I believe, for all of that to work in his life. And one day he was praying in prayer and he said, God, why did it take so long for this to happen in my life? Why did it take so long? And God's response was, because it took that long for the great doctor Paul Youngie Cho to die. Think about it. Think about it for you and me. See, I know the first verse this morning here talks about being blessed. How many of you want to be blessed? Amen. How many of you are blessed? Amen. 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 How many of you will do anything to be blessed? Now be careful. Amen. Amen. Be careful, because you can do a lot of things that might be out of His will, seeking a blessing. You know, we church people are infamous about going from place to place looking for the hot spot where God is moving. I've known people who've traveled all over the country going to revival here, revival there, revival this, revival that, looking for that, you know. And I'm not condemning them, because they can only be accountable to God for what they are, not me for them or them for me. But I just encourage you to be careful about being blessed and seeking blessings and knowing the blessing of God in your life and where it comes from. Because, let me just, I'm not going to sing this to you, because I probably couldn't do it. We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for our family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity, we pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering, and all the while, you hear each spoken need, yet love us way too much to give us lesser things. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? We pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. We cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, and as if every promise from your word is not enough, and all the while, you hear each desperate plea and long that we'd have faith to believe. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes, Jared, to know you're near? And what if the trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray us, you probably never had a friend betray you, have you? Yeah. When darkness seems to win, we know that pain reminds this heart that this is not our home. It's not our home. Because what if your blessings come through raindrops, and what if your healing comes through tears? And what if 1,000 sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if my greatest disappointments or the aching of this life is the revealing of a greater thirst this world can't satisfy? And what if the trials of this life, the rain, the storms, the hardest nights, are your mercies in disguise? Blessed. We are blessed. We are blessed. Highly favored. The King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, who's called us by name, who has spoken to us and drawn us to Himself. Psalm 1 has some instruction for us. And as I start, I want to say this. Prohibitions are not punishment. Prohibitions are not punishment, but divine protection. Prohibitions are not punishment, but divine protection. I know, as a dad and now a grandfather, you have to prohibit your kids and grandkids from doing some things, right? You don't want them to stick something in an electric socket. You certainly don't want them playing with fire unaccompanied, right? You know, you don't want them to get around a hot stove. You don't want them to put metal in a microwave. I mean, there's lots of things that we prohibit them from doing, not because we're mean, right? But because we love them and we don't want them injured in any way, shape, or form. And so to protect them is really love. And so this morning, as we hear this word, I want to remind you that God's prohibitions are not punishment, but they are divine protection. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Lord, we just give this time to you and ask that your Holy Spirit would speak through me. Open ears to hear and eyes to see your truth and how we might walk in your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Blessed is the man who does not. Blessed is the one, the man, the woman, the child, you know, who does not do these things. Why? Well, let me begin by saying, he talks about who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. If you want to be blessed, you don't want to walk in the counsel of the wicked. Walk means what? You go with them, right? You go with someone, you're walking with them. It's a part of who you are and what you're doing, walking with them. And here he talks about the counsel of the wicked. You may not see counsel in your life that's ungodly as wicked, but it is. It's either following God's word or it doesn't. And if it doesn't follow God's word, it's ungodly. And ungodly leads to wickedness. And how does that happen in our lives? How do we get to a point where we would walk in the counsel of the wicked? Well, let me read to you just a moment some of the lyrics of songs that I listened to growing up. Kicks just keep getting harder to find, and all those kicks can't give you peace of mind. I can't get no satisfaction. Imagine there's no heaven. I think we're alone now. The beating of our hearts is the only sound. Tommy James and the Shondells first sang it, then Tiffany for the next generation sang it and made it possible. I see you've listened to some of those. See, when I came to Christ, I had to leave that all behind. I had to leave behind. There was a day of reckoning in our lives, Karen and mine, when in our second appointment as pastor, God spoke to me and I gave my collection of LPs to the trash. Put them in the trash. Moody Blues, Led Zeppelin, I mean, Three Dog Night. I had to get rid of them because they had influenced my former way of living. And if I wanted to continue to walk in the freedom that Christ had given to me, I had to leave that behind. Now you can tell that I still know some of those things, right? So for those of you that are younger than me, way younger than me, maybe two generations younger than I am, be careful what you hear. What is that old Bible school song? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little feet, where you go. There's a reason that that's popular. Wait a minute, well, not popular. There's a reason that there's value in that, because what you hear and what you listen to sticks with you. And so when you're walking in that path, you're beginning the journey of taking that in. Now, faith comes by hearing. You know that, right? Romans chapter 10. Faith comes by hearing. Godly faith comes by hearing the word of God. Amen. So we need to differentiate in our lives what we hear, what we listen to. And so we need to be careful of that. And let me just say this. Tomorrow night, I'm going to sit down at the girls' basketball game and be responsible for playing music. Now, I will play music that I'm not really fond of. I try and sneak some in that I am fond of. Some rap music that has Christ as its center. But I bring that up, and it's not just at the girls' basketball game, it's the boys as well. You know, my Spotify is set so that no explicit lyrics will be played. So I can't play a song with explicit lyrics. But that doesn't mean that the intermeaning of what they're saying isn't still as troubling as explicit language. And I'm saying that today, but I'm telling you that Elvis Presley was not real popular with the parents. Swing music in the 20s and 30s was not popular with the parents. You know, rock and roll that birthed out of that, and all of the disco music, I think that was popular. No. I'm saying that because, remember, was it Satan who said, did not God say, after God had said, by hearing, Eve began to think, well, that maybe there's, so be careful what you hear. Don't walk in that. Because what happens when you walk in it? Well, you begin to stand in it. Stand in the way of scoffers. And scoffers are what? Scoffers are those who make fun of, who cause you to doubt what you know to be true. So walking is one level, standing is the next. The old saying is still true, if you will stand for nothing, you'll fall for anything. Well, you can stand for the wrong stuff too. You can stand for all of the social things that are against God's word. And how do you get to that point where you stand for abortion? Where you stand for sexual rights that are against God's word? Where do you get to that point? By walking in those ways, by beginning to take them in and listening and hearing to them. And when you listen and hear them, I don't care what age you are, where you were, come on. No, I don't care. It affects us all. Again, it's still been a part of my past, and I thank God I'm forgiven and that's done. But this old crazy thing still sometimes will recall those things. So when you get to that point where you're standing, and you're standing in the path of scoffers, it means that you're beginning to take into your heart and believe the ungodly advice. And you're beginning to go with that ungodly advice and letting that rule you and reign in you. So we're prohibited by God's word, not walking in the counsel of the wicked, not standing in the way of sinners or scoffers. Stand again is practicing those previously ungodly principles that was put forth to you in the first part of that, in the counsel of the wicked. Standing results in lifestyle, habits, patterns of thinking, and behaving. So we are blessed when our way is not like the way of the ungodly. So he's addressed, prohibited from us walking in that way, making a stand with them. And then the next part he talks about is sitting, reclining, sitting in the seat of scoffers. Now there's something about sitting that means not only to reject God in his way, but you begin to embrace fully and live out the ungodly lifestyles and habits and patterns of thinking and behaving. And also the scoffing, the ridicule, and the criticizing of those who do walk in God's word. You see, this afternoon when I go home, there's going to be a time when I get in my recliner. And I sit there and I just kind of pull the lever back and I let that recliner just absorb into me, and I absorb into it, and we kind of become one. So much so, Karen and I have the exact same recliner. Mine's totally different from hers now because I have reclined into it more than she has reclined into hers. The prohibition here is that if you're not careful by walking in the way of the scoffers and by standing in that, you're eventually going to sit in it, to a point where it stews and it's such a part of you that you can't really see what's up and what's down, what's right and what's wrong. And that's dangerous, because that then becomes a part of us that either keeps us from being saved or leads us into a place where we are going to sow what we really don't want to reap. The danger of that. And so we need to be careful. Remember, prohibitions are not punishment. God's not going to punish you if you listen to something that is not godly. But it will impact you in ways that you are not really aware of at this point. It will begin to seep and creep into the pores of your body and who you are. But there's an antidote for that. If we're going to continue to be blessed, the psalmist gives us, either you consider it an antidote or a prescription to live freely. But blessed the man, go back to verse 1, blessed is the man, verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Day and night. It's in the law, when in the law of the Lord we delight. Delighting in something is that we begin to really think about it, right, and desire it and want it. When Abigail and Lydia walked in today with some smoke and beans coffee, they delighted in that. So much so that I couldn't take it from them, you know what I mean? And I wondered where mine was. To delight in something means that you give a lot of attention to it and a lot of focus. You know? New relationships, new beginnings, new starts. We tend to delight in those newness. That's the reason why we're warned in the book of Revelations of Jesus to return to our first love, to delight in that innocence, in that freedom. Just bathe in that, delight in that. And here, a blessed one, someone who is blessed, well, his delight is in the law of the Lord. Amen? Delight is in the law of the Lord. And what is the law of the Lord? The Word. 66 books. 66 books in this one unified, united document that speaks clearly from Genesis to Revelation that God is and He is coming again. He not was, He is. For that's what I am means. I is. When God said to Moses, tell them who sent me, He said, I is, sent you. You know, God is. And He is coming again. And our delight then is in His Word. In His Word we delight and we make it a part of us. And so we meditate on it day and night. Now, let me be explicit here also about what it means to meditate. For in some religions, meditation means you try and empty yourself out. Just kind of empty yourself out of everything. Let whatever comes in, comes in. Can I tell you, there are all sorts of demons, all sorts of evil angels, demons, fallen angels, demons. Do I need to say that again? Demons that will come into your emptiness. Meditating does not mean emptying. It means meditating on, thinking on, even to the point, if you will, pondering it, thinking about it. I like the idea of a dog with a bone. You know, you give a how many of you have dogs at home? Don't raise your hand. Just when you give them a new toy, a new bone, they do what with it? Arr, man, they just get on it, right? Chewing it, tearing it apart, ripping, showing it off even, you know? That's what it means to meditate on this word, to chew on it like a dog on a bone. Arr. You know, get it into you. Let it seep into your pores. Let it seep into your thinking, because we're told in Romans chapter 12 that we need to be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And we renew our mind through the Word of God. And the Word of God isn't going to just jump in. It's not going to just say, "Woo, here I am." You got to meditate on it. You got to ponder it. We need to think about it. Take it in and let it be a part of who we are so that we can be. You know, and when you do that, you save yourself a lot of trouble. Because you begin to know the good word versus the bad word. Satan, I believe this to be true in most cases. When you're walking in God and trying to please Him, the first word you hear is from God giving you direction. Often the second word is Satan trying to talk you out of what God just gave you to do. And if you don't know the difference, you'll choose the easy path or the path that pulls you away from what God is calling you to do. Because we are bombarded by thoughts daily. Sometimes I still think, where'd that come from? How'd that get in there? Well, old Slewfoot likes to have his fallen angels whisper things, the prince of the power of the air, still trying to convince us and to confuse us and allow us to doubt God's word. He still says to us, did God really say? Is that really what's required of me? Is that what it means to be a follower? Really? Do I really have to? If you're going to be a follower of Christ, yes, you have to. You need to. Because the one who meditates on it day and night becomes like a tree planted by the streams of water. Becomes like a tree planted by the streams of water. I wish I still had it. I had a picture several years ago. I was on a retreat in a place near here, Hezekiah House, out in Jackson County. Can't believe the place in Jackson County that's really good. But there is this place. And when I was there, there had been a storm just a few days before, I believe, and this great big pine tree, I mean huge pine tree, was blown over. And the root ball was about, well, bigger than I am, but it was only about this deep. There was nothing to withstand the storms of life. Hardwood trees, even some softwood trees, they know to go deep. They know to go deep. They have to go deep because the water that they find is life to them. It's what brings the green, it what brings health, and it what brings blooms and blossoms and fruit is the water. And when you and I meditate on God's word, that's what we're doing. We're sinking our life deep so that we can withstand the storms of life, so that we can be an overcomer more than conqueror and not always be overcome. You know, it's easy to be overcome. I mean, anybody, everybody is usually overcome. But if you're in Christ and you're deep, even if you feel like you're overcome, you have an abundant life in you that will help you to rise up and be an overcomer more than conqueror through Christ Jesus who lives in you. Amen? You see, I once was told, and I believe this to be true, Linda, that one of the problems we have with Christians is we're an inch deep and a mile wide instead of being an inch wide and a mile deep. Get that picture? Inch deep, mile wide. Man, we think we spread our wings and we've got to look at the sphere of influence that we have. We got this great big storms hit and you fall. Matthew 7 says that anyway, doesn't it? But when you have a small sphere of influence and you're deep, you will be able to stand the storms of life. And you will have greater influence because people will see that you stand and withstand. And you can share with them then how you are withstanding the storms of life. Because greater is He who's in me than he who's in the world. And when I know that and live that, then I am a conqueror. I am blessed. of God. Now, not everything about my life is good. I go through struggles. How many of you know I've got some big struggles ahead of me as one of the five members of Vinton County School Board? You know, I've got some difficult days ahead. One of the greatest difficulties of doing that is I miss my kids. I miss you horribly in just a few weeks. I don't know what it's going to be like in a month or so from now, you know, but that's okay. This is where I believe God's called me. And so I'm working on doing the difficult stuff, loving and training and encouraging. But how blessed is the man, the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord, for he's a tree planted by the streams of water, yielding its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. Its leaf does not wither. At 71 years old, this leaf is withering. This leaf is not withering. Christ is in me, the hope of glory. And if you want to withstand the test of time and in your life, make sure that you become like a tree planted by the streams of water. For beauty is only skin deep, but ugly goes clear to the core. So do all that you can. The word doesn't say don't beautify the outside. Just don't let it be all that your focus is. 1 Peter chapter 3 talks about let not the adornment be merely outward, but inward as well. And so for all of the time that we spend making sure, guys, that our hair spiked in the right spots and laying down in the right spots and have that buffed look. And I won't even address our ladies here today. I'm getting in trouble enough on my own without adding to it. But, you know, its leaf does not wither. It brings forth its fruit in its season, in its time. And it's seasonal right now to bring forth fruit. Love. Hello, what is that? Hello, love. Hello, joy. Hello, peace. It's a new horizon. You know, and it's a new and it's a renewed horizon as we walk in His Word, as we meditate on it day and night, as we let it become a part of us. We then are like a tree planted where its fruit yields in its season and its leaf does not wither. You know, I encourage you, don't pray for peace. You know, people often, or patience, I mean, don't pray for patience. People say, well, I need to pray for patience. No, you don't. Just get in the Word, let the Word get in you, let the Holy Spirit reside in that, and you'll have patience. It's part of the fruit of God's Spirit, right? Patience is a part of the fruit, so don't pray for it. But know this, God will test you anyway. He'll test you in your love, He'll test you in your joy, He'll test you in your peace, so that you will know what you have is real or not. So that you will know that it's the real thing. Is it the real thing in your life right now? Kelly, is it real in your life? You've been tested, haven't you? Both you and Greg. You've been tested and it's real. So you'll be tested. You'll be tried. And again, not to punish you, but to prove you, to help you see how you measure up and how much farther we need to go. Or get to go, if you will, with Him. And in all that He does, He prospers. Boy, that's a good word, isn't it? All that He does, He prospers. And I'm thankful to God that He prospers us and that He loves us in such a way that we can't even begin. Now, meditating on the Word of God, I've got a couple of scriptures that I want you to think about. How many of you know the principles of God's Word? There are principles, and I'm going to read you three of them. There are many more. In Galatians 6, 7 and 8, don't be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever one sows, that will he also reap. That's a principle. As you sow, you'll reap. Just keep that in mind. That's a principle of God. Meditate on that. Let that become a part of you. Matthew 7:12. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them. For this is the law and the prophets. The old golden rule, right? You know, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. If you want to be treated great, treat others great. If you want to be treated evil and a mean girl, I mean, boys can be mean girls too, you know. Be a mean girl. Be a mean boy, you know. So whatever you wish that others would do to you, do also to them, for this is the law of the prophets. And the last one I'll share is Matthew 6:14. For if you forgive others their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. That's a huge conjunction there, is it not? If you will, he will. If you don't, he won't. I mean, we've all been crossed, right? We've all had situations where we're like, how could they do that to me? How can that happen? Well, that's either Satan trying to influence you or it's God testing you to see if you will forgive. Four, five, and six. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff that the wind drives away. I'm not old enough to have known the mill where they used to run the wheat through and spin it. You can see I saw a little bit of that, but I have seen combines where they go through and behind them, trailing them. And the combine my dad had, it came out the side where all of that chaff and stuff on the wheat, it was just blowing around and falling everywhere and was of no value. The wicked are not so. They're like chaff the wind drives away. So the advice of the ungodly advice will lead you to just be fruitless and windblown. The wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Is that really our hope? Is that really our plan, that we would not be able to stand in the judgment nor be in the congregation of the righteous? No, that's not. I know it's not. So, be careful, little ears, what you hear. Be careful, little eyes, what you see, because it will affect who you are. I don't care what age you are. I had someone ask me a few years ago about Dr. Phil. What did I think about Dr. Phil? He said, does he ever confess Christ? Ever in his godly, in his advice, does he ever quote scripture? Is it something that he ever says? And they said, no, I don't think so. And I said, well, then maybe his advice isn't what you need to be listening to. You know? And there are many others that I could say the advice that they give is not based upon the Word of God. Matter of fact, it is ungodly, it is wicked, and it is away from the Word of God. And trust me, I've been there. I've seen it. I know. And I thank God I'm a survivor. Yes. I thank God I'm a survivor. And my hope is you will be also. So be careful what you hear. And this morning, the call to you is, if you're a follower of Christ and have not been careful what you hear and listen to and see and do, then today is the day of repentance. Today is the day to ask God to move in your life and help you to move that stuff out so that the Word of God that you meditate on can find its place in you, that it become firm and good soil in who you are, so that the Word of God can richly dwell within you. Also, if you're not sure that you're a follower of Christ, today is the day of salvation. Now is the acceptable time. Do you know you need to be saved? That's God speaking to you. That ain't the devil. He would not tell you that you need to be saved. You know, that's God speaking to you through the Holy Spirit, drawing you to Him, calling you to come to Him so that you can stand in the judgment of the righteous, so that you can sit in the congregation of the believers at the end of time and in the day, that you'll not be just blessed here, but that you'll have the real blessing of eternity. And if you have known Christ and have allowed these things to creep in, again, repent. Call upon Him. Jared, I'm going to ask you to come and just play whatever God's put on your heart as I have been preaching. Father God, in Jesus' name, Lord, You...
Thank you for joining us. Please like our podcast and leave us a 5-star review. God bless and have an amazing week.